This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, yes, it is a Fransky Friday here on the Midday Show. Our second one, of course, Scott Fransky, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, after a Phillies 7-3 victory over the Nats on opening day. Scott, how are we doing today?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Well, you know, we've been a lot of angst this morning, Scott.
Well, Scott, you know, we're debating the good and the bad. I mean, I actually thought there was a lot of good yesterday, but yeah, Scott, 19 of those. Yeah.
If I'm being honest, Scott, I'm like, hell, you got the win. You hadn't had a win at the beginning of the season in 2 years. I'm okay with it. But
yeah, you're a bottom line guy.
But from your preview, how much did the shadows play into them not being able to the strikeouts, I should say? How did the shadows play into the strikeouts?
Well, I think they played. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, was it 50% more? Was it, you know, 20% more? Was it? I mean, Mackenzie Gore was really good.
I said that too. That everybody laughed at me when I said that. But okay,
I mean, we didn't laugh. And he pitched very well yesterday. I mean, he was in the zone. He pitched well, and he's got good stuff. So, but I do think the shadows played a part in it. I don't think there's any question. I've never stood in the box there. I can't say, but you know, you get certain looks on TV and when they show those, now I don't know what the Phillies telecast had. And we had the Nationals broadcast in our booth and they would put up shots every now and then from behind home plate. And as you're sitting there, you can't see the pitcher. The backdrop is different, and it's a little bit different. There's a little more sheen, a shine on the bricks, the green bricks, where the ball would come out of a left-hander's hand, as opposed to the sort of the I don't know if you've ever been there. There's a big Washington logo, and it's kind of green turf almost up above the wall, and that one doesn't have as much of a glare on it, you know. And there's some windows over there too, so. I don't know. It definitely played a part. But just how much? I don't know. I mean, the Phillies do strike out. You know, it happens. They're a team that does that, and they're still going to do that. You hope the balance over the course of the season it goes, you know, down a little bit, but it's going to happen some.
Scott, I thought it was almost poetic that the game came down to an Alec Bohm hit after the offseason that we just had, where it was pretty obvious the Phillies at least thought about moving on from him. They didn't get an offer they liked, and they kept him, and even he knew about it. I mean, the Matt Gelb had a story last week that he kind of, you know, turned everything off and shut his phone off and wasn't looking at anything because he just didn't want to pay attention to it until it was all settled. Well, he's here, And he won the game yesterday with that big hit. That was a great hit to the left center field gap. What did you make of Bohm as you observed him in spring training and yesterday getting that hit? Because I feel like with him, you always wonder about the mental stuff almost more than the physical stuff.
Yeah, he you know, all throughout the spring, he really looked like a guy who was comfortable where he was at, comfortable with who he was. You know, obviously the numbers in spring training that, you know, were really good, so he looked comfortable at the plate. Again, everybody who you know, really knows him well and is around him seems like he's in a really good place. And, you know, whatever happened and whatever was said and whatever was talked about in the offseason doesn't seem to have fazed him at all. I think these guys have certainly been around enough and seen enough. I know we look at Bohm as a young player. We look at, you know, the Marsh and Stott. But, you know, they understand the game, too, and the business part of it. And they understand the talk that goes on out there. So, you know, I think they both have, you know, he has been in a good place both mentally and physically since he got to spring training.
What do you think of Trey Turner's at-bats yesterday? I know he didn't get a hit or anything like that, but just his overall approach, what did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. He's, you know, he's not a guy who's going to – he'll swing, and he's going to swing, but he fouled off a bunch of pitches you know, again, in some tough conditions against a good pitcher. So, you know, of course, the minute you, you know, move Schwarber out of the leadoff spot, he leads off a bunch of innings anyways and has hits doing it, you know. So who knows? You know, we're going to see a different lineup on Saturday, and we'll see a different lineup again Sunday, you know, go back to the one from yesterday. So I think it's going to be a little bit of that kind of back and forth and trying different things for a while.
Scott, new look bullpen. We got to see a bunch of it yesterday because the game went into extra innings. Most of the guys came out and pitched well. I mean, I thought Kirkering's stuff was really good. He had a couple of blue pits. Alvarado looked like the guy that you kept telling us about and everyone told us about in spring training. And then Strom finished it. Of course, though, Romano struggled. What did you make of the bullpen yesterday and how you think that's going to play out the next couple of days here with how Topper's going to use these guys?
I think you're going to see basically that. You know, innings 6 through 9, any of combination of Kirkering and Strom, you know, can get used, and 7 through 9, it'd be, you know, Alvarado and Romano, and, you know, Jordan's still working through it, I think. You know, his command is not there, through a lot of sliders. I don't think he was loving his fastball, especially early. So yeah, I think it may take some time and for him to get back up to speed. Hopefully he gets there and gets some of that velocity back. He needs it. But, you know, he needs command as well. And, you know, again, I think he's still trying to find his way. Strom really kind of impressed me. I mean, hadn't pitched really in game conditions at all. Certainly not in a long while. And maybe, you know, he too doesn't have quite the velocity that you would expect that I think we'll see once he gets fully ramped up. But, you know, Rob Thompson really wanted to get him in the game yesterday and didn't want him to have to sit around and wait to pitch. So, no, he was happy to get that opportunity to get him back out there and give him a chance. And, you know, he's not a back-to-back guy yet. But, you know, obviously he will be, but he's not there yet. So,
Scott Fransky with us here, reacted to the opening day win. Phillies play tomorrow, 4:05 against the Nats, Sunday afternoon as well before the home opener coming up on Monday. Scott, I don't know about you. I mean, you get to call each of his starts, and I know you got to call a lot of great starts from Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee and a whole bunch of great Phillies pitchers, Cole Hamels. But I'm at the point now where it's almost like I feel like some people are numb to how great Zach Wheeler is. It's just ho-hum. Aside from maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 starts a year, what he did yesterday is just the norm, and that's incredible. 6 innings, a run. It just feels like he does this pretty much every start for the past 5 years.
He's as good a pitcher as you're going to find, starting pitchers you're going to find in Major League Baseball. I mean, he just is, and nothing phazes him. You know, there were a lot of calls that went against him yesterday, you know, from the home plate umpire, and it doesn't faze him. He still, you know, worries about the next pitch and worries about how to get guys out. And he's the complete package, really, in the fact that not only does he have stuff and a lot of it, right? He's got a lot of offerings, a lot of different ways to get you out, but he pitches. He knows how to pitch, and that can be somewhat lost as an art form this day and age of baseball, it's all about stuff and, you know, throwing as hard as you can and throwing nasty breaking balls. And that's not Zach. He does throw hard, but that's not who he is. And he knows how to pitch and he knows how to sort of weather the storm. So, I've heard Larry say the same thing, but I agree with him. I say, you know, if there is a big game and a game to be won these days in Major League Baseball, I'd take Zach Wheeler any day of the week for that kind of a game.
I would too, and he's been amazing in the postseason. Scott, tomorrow Jesus Luzardo make his first start as a Philly. What's your expectation, and where do you think he's at? Because, you know, you look at it, it's like, which Luzardo are we going to get? 2 years ago, I thought he was one of the best 15 or 20 best pitchers in baseball. Last year, he was hurt, he struggled, didn't pitch much. And then you look at some of the numbers in spring, not great, but then people have said they've seen him, and maybe he's been working on things, and it looks good. What's your expectation for Luzardo as he starts tomorrow?
Yeah, I think my expectation is you'll see a little more of what, who Jesus Luzardo really is. I mean, again, it'll be one start out of what he hopes will be 30-plus this year if he stays healthy. But the guy has really good stuff. And, you know, we did see him in spring training look real good at times. We saw him in spring training not look good at times. And I know his last start, you know, he's just working on pitches that over and over and over again trying to get a feel for this new sweeper of his and see what that can do for him. He wouldn't necessarily do that tomorrow. He's going to pitch tomorrow. And I think you're going to see, hopefully you see at least what you saw 2 years ago from Jesus. I think the Phillies can make him a better pitcher. I think they can make him a more complete pitcher. They've shown the ability to do that, Caleb Cotham and his people. So that's going to be a process. That'll take place over a number of weeks and months and see where his season goes. But I think it's a great pickup, and I'm looking forward to watching him.
We are too. We'll be listening tomorrow against the Nationals and again on Sunday before the home opener Monday. Scott, we appreciate it. Enjoy the off day, and we'll be listening tomorrow afternoon to Phillies Nationals. Thank you, Scott.
Sounds good, fellas. Talk to you next week.
Have a good one.
There we go. Scott Fransky down in D.C., and the off day after the game yesterday?
Yeah, that's kind of...
Well, they do that because they're afraid of rainouts, right?
Oh, yeah, because it's the time of year Baseball shouldn't be played.
I think so most of... Well, what do you mean shouldn't be played?
I'm just saying.
When do you want to start the season?
When it gets a little bit warmer. Like, what, 10 days from now?
You don't... April? It's
April,
not like guaranteed 10th? To be any warmer
well,
10
April,
days from
well,
now.
Yeah, April showers is a little warmer.
Hold on a second. Today is 65 degrees.
Wait, okay. It was cold. It was brick this morning, man.
67 degrees
And
today.
You know what it is? Because, like...
10 days from now, you know what the temperature is? 60.
Right.
I mean, like,
I'm just saying, but it's cold.
Douglas
it's cold
math
in the morning, man. Because I wake up in the morning and I gotta turn my heat off. I gotta turn the heat on.
But
it
they don't
cold,
play
though,
the
man.
Game in the
cold.
Morning.
I'm just saying, it needs to be a little warmer, just a little bit warmer.
It's not that cold in the morning.
It is. It was cold this morning.
What's cold?
I walked
was cold
to work
this morning.
It wasn't
it was like
that
30,
bad.
30, 30 degrees this morning.
No, it wasn't. It was like 40.
No, it
45.
Wasn't. It was 30.
Dude, I looked at the weather
you,
before I walked
I had,
out of the door.
I had the breath. I was like, you could see my breath when I was walking out the door. It was cold.
I think it's taking those bones a little while to warm up, Pop-Pop.
No, you called me name. You called me all name. It was cold this morning. It was cold.
Did you have a coat on?
I never wear a coat.
Well, I think this is part of the problem. All right, 215-592-9494. We appreciate Scott joining us there. All right, we got a lot to get into here. How'd you feel? I mean, yesterday watching the game, did you like what you saw from the Phillies? I did. Kyle citing the 19 strikeouts, not there. Hugh says, work in progress
work
here.
In
44
progress.
This morning, by the way.
45.
It was 30-something.
In
Delaware. It was 30-something.
You're going to argue facts?
The temperature in Delaware
you
can't
know
be that
now,
different than
if it's cold when I come in here Monday, I'm going to take pictures. Because it was cold this morning.
But we're talking about...
Because I turned the heat on.
What does Monday have to do with today?
It's going to be 79 degrees tomorrow, and you want to back the season up.
It's 79 degrees?
79.
Okay, I'll take that.
74 on Sunday, 75 Monday.
It was cold this morning, though. It was cold this morning.
84 next Friday.
84?
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be some people running around the city naked Friday next Friday. There'll be some nakedness.
Well, there's our tri-day conversation next week. All right, 215-592-9494. Also, we have, for tri-day, a $100 gift card to Sunoco to give away this hour on 94WIP, fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. We need a sports venue we should check out. We've got some very local. We've got some worldwide. What do you got for us? Best answer wins the $100 gift card. All right, Andy in Westchester's up on WIP. Hey, Andy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up,
Andy,
man?
What's up?
Not too much. So, Hugh, just backing up a second. When you were in Trader Joe's, were there gummies involved?
No. Like, again, it was during the week, and I just, you know what, Andy, sometimes you walk in the store, and you know how you don't really have a set plan, you just go in, and you always have a plan?
When I'm in a store.
I go in, because I went in, and I was like, okay, I'm hungry, I don't know what I want to eat, let me go see what they have. And they had so many different things, at that point, I was just like, it's too much.
So you didn't get anything?
I didn't get anything. I walked out. Kind of like when I go to Cabela's, same thing.
Oh, I got to just find out what stores you go to and watch you.
I'm telling you, a Hugh Douglas cam as he's in the store for a half hour doesn't buy anything, would be great.
Andy, to Joe's point, like, I'll stand there, and I know people are like, what the hell is he doing? And I'm like, because I walked around, because I saw they had the spatchcock chickens, right? And I was like, I want to do the spatchcock?
I don't know what that is.
Well, they you know how you
I know spatchcock,
say, like,
yeah.
Like, say you get a whole chicken, but they cut it in half so you could flay it. You could flay it.
You can press it down so that it's like flat.
You can cook it. Have a big skillet, you could cook it in the whole skillet. So I thought about doing that. I'm like, do I feel like doing that? And so it became a whole thing.
I just thought that you walk into a store of food hungry and you leave without food.
Yeah, I did.
That's unique.
I did.
Go ahead, Andy.
And you walked around Cabela's for an hour.
I'm sorry.
Not buying anything.
This is your time. I'm sorry.
Well, in fact, this is your fault, too.
It's good. I like it. And also, real quick, Hugh, on behalf of all the truck drivers that listen to you guys, thank you for your PSA Wednesday, telling people to just, you know, pay attention.
No,
it drives you nuts.
Andy, I see it because I drive a truck, but it's not the size of the ones that they drive. And
right.
the fact that they're in these little box cars and they will dart in front of you and stuff. And it's like, it take a long time for that truck to stop.
Oh, I know it.
See, it's ridiculous.
You're talking about 80,000 pounds versus 2,000.
Man, and I'm like, boy, I'm glad that people know that those truck brakes work as well as they do. Like, that's crazy. So,
anyway, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked here.
It happens.
We do it every day.
It's right.
So season's over. 1-161. Write it in stone. You know, it's they're done. I don't get all the negativity. This is. You know, I actually was listening to the game, and I was a little irritated before I got home just with all the strikeouts. And as soon as I turned it on, you can see what they're talking about. But still, you know, there's a whole season left. It was one game. Yeah, I'm not thrilled with it. But, yeah, I like the approach that they seem to have at the plate. Not chasing all the time, but yeah.
Yeah, there are days, and we've seen it with this team a lot, like the playoffs last year, where they swing at crap, right? They swing and miss at crap.
Right.
And then yesterday, I didn't feel that. I just thought they were swinging and missing, right? Gore was throwing the ball around the plate, and they just, whether it was they had a bad day, whether they stunk yesterday, or the shadows, they just weren't connected. I can forgive that. Like, if you're swinging at a pitch in the dirt, then I'm annoyed. If you're swinging at a pitch over the plate and you miss it, what are you going to do?
Exactly. He did look really good, and, you know, whatever. It's game one. I'm happy they won. Actually, I wasn't even that thrilled, excited about the season coming, but as soon as it started yesterday, I was like, all right, baseball's back.
There is something about opening day. Like, wherever you're at on the excitement scale, once that first pitch is thrown, you hear the national anthem, you're all the way back in. Andy, give us a venue we should check out.
You ever go to Double Day Field in Cooperstown? Great.
You know, I went to Cooperstown once as a kid, but I don't think I actually got to the field. That's a good idea. I like that. Double day field in Cooperstown.
You can just walk in any random time and there's like a little league game going on or some, you know, high school game. It's great. It's just great venue, cool atmosphere.
Yeah, there's something really cool about the Hall of Fame cities. So they're like their own little places on that nothing is like them, and then they just have the whole town just to them. Andy, good phone call there. So how about that? One of your PSAs really hit home.
Yeah, man, because I see it every day. And I kind of live it because people will cut you off. And you're at an angle that's different than everybody else. And trucks are taller than my truck. So it's crazy to see. It's crazy to see people do that.
So now I'm branded as I'm the negative guy.
Yep, that's you. I'm Mr. Positive. You're the negative guy.
I don't think it's negative to point out that. Because, hold on. The copium with the it's one game thing. You know what this reminds me of?
What?
When the Eagles started off the season and the defense looked like crap and the quarterback was turning the ball over, people had the right to be concerned because it looked like the last season. Now,
absolutely.
Do the Phillies have time to turn this around? For sure. I hope that they do. And I think that there's a very good chance that they do. But do I have the right to say that's the team that I saw last season.
Yes,
it's not just one game.
No, you said it.
It's been 2 years.
I think within that, within what you're feeling, and I think it's totally appropriate, there's like I would pick out certain people that I'm more concerned about. Like I felt better yesterday, even though Trey went 0 for 4. I thought he had good at bats. Marsh looks like a disaster. I mean, he looks like a disaster.
No, it's just one game, Joe.
No, him, it's his whole career.
That's what I'm. But that's my point. It's been multiple years of this. This is what knocked us out of the postseason for years with the Phillies.
It's just a lot of passion in there, and it's like,
what? Well, we had a game yesterday.
I do love the Phillies.
It just feels like it's. It's not over the top, but it feels over the top.
Well, no, because people don't want to hear somebody have a negative opinion about the Phillies after they won a game. But I'm sorry, that's what I saw.
Let me tell you, this is
I took the pledge.
I took the pledge too.
I'm so glad we did the pledge.
You did not take the pledge.
I did take the pledge.
No,
I did.
We're gonna
test
you.
Who said they were gonna win by 7 runs?
But that's not the
this
pledge.
This guy.
That's a guess.
I did take the pledge.
You have blind faith.
No,
you told us Taiwan Walker is gonna be good.
We're waiting. The verdict is still gonna be out.
That verdict is in.
We got time. But I will tell you this.
It's guilty.
Yeah.
The verdict is in.
The rage emotion that I went through yesterday was
guilty.
Now you lost my train of thought. But my range of emotions were, if they would have lost, I know the conversation would not have been good.
No.
Especially when you talk about the 19 strikeouts. But you went down there to do what you wanted, you aimed out to do. And that's win the first one. The first one.
But the point you just made is the best one. All of this, do we think, what percentage of callers today, if they had lost, would have been like,
freaking
I liked what I saw.
Freaking out.
Come on.
It'd have been hot.
Yeah, of course
we can be realistic, guys.
I mean, fans in a nutshell.
Yeah, but some things were bad. I mean, we could be real. They won the game. That's the best part. Bohm had a huge hit. Harper and Schwarber are tremendous
power
hitters.
And we can nitpick.
And nitpick the other stuff.
I'm not even saying the season's over. I'm just saying 19 strikeouts is a flashback to last season.
No, it was. It was a little bit of PTSD.
I'll be honest. As much as I picked out 4 or 5 things that I liked, and that really guided how I felt more than I was annoyed. When I saw that they put Mackenzie Gore in the same category as Bob Gibson, it was like getting slapped across the lips.
And Bob
Gibson is one of the greatest pitchers of all time.
Not Gibson.
Mackenzie Gore is just a guy so far in his career.
And by the way, this isn't just like... this is a lot less normal than I think some people are making it out to be with the shadows thing. The Phillies are the only team in baseball history to strike out 19 times on opening day and win.
What does the five finger say to the face?
Slap!
Kyle's getting more upset.
I know. Disregarding.
I'm not disregarding. No. I hear you, man. But they won.
Yeah. Wave to more people as they walk by.
Slap! Hey, everybody.
Tired of you.
It does hit that they were the most strikeouts ever in a win in the history of baseball
opening
day. Listen, it's one thing to see it, but when you find out how many different. Because I'm like, wow, that's a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, they set a record.
Let me put it this way. Tomorrow they face Jake Irvin, okay? If Jake Irvin If Jake Irvin walked in the door right here, I'd say, sir, who are you and why are you here? I have no idea what the guy
is. Would you slap him?
I wouldn't slap him. But if they strike out double-digit times tomorrow with the Shadows against Jake Irvin,
it's going to be
I don't
around.
Even care. Don't even play the game Sunday. I want to come in. We're going to react to Saturday's game on Monday.
No, that's not right. That's because we got a game after that.
No. If they have a bad day against Jake Irvin, I don't care if the Shadows. That's different. At least Gore could be good, right? He has good stuff. He's their opening day starter. He's a guy with pedigree. He's a former top prospect. Jake Irvin is basically Jack Fritz. I mean, you can't strike out against that guy.
How did Jack catch a strike?
Well, because he's he's a guy, right? He's not a guy that should strike anybody out with merit.
Jack caught a strike.
I'm just saying, Mackenzie Gore has stuff. Jake Irvin doesn't. If this happens again on Saturday, then Kyle and everyone that feels like Kyle is very justified.
It's a good Friday, though.
It is a good Friday. Well, we haven't had a game to react to. We've been holding this in since the Super Bowl. All right, 215-592-9494. Overall, I feel good about what the Phillies put out there yesterday. Turner had good at-bats, even though he didn't get a hit yesterday. Harper with the homer. Schwarber with the homer. Most of the bullpen was excellent. Wheeler, we know what he is. We'll get back to all your phone calls here. $100 gift card on the line to Sunoco, a sports venue we should check out. But as much as I am encouraged by what I saw yesterday, there is one Philly that I'm already out on. Just I'm out. I watched yesterday. My eyes are not lying to me. I didn't like what I saw. One Philly I'm out on. We'll talk about it next. 215-592-9494. And we might have to do something about that one Philly. We'll come up with an idea next on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, spring is in the air and the grills are starting to fire up. It's time to take cooking outside again, people. So picture this. You're in the backyard and a juicy marinated tenderloin is on the grill. And over on the flat top, you already know what it is. That's that Hatfield bacon sizzling to perfection. Now, that's what spring's all about, longer days and great food with family and friends. Head to simplyhatfield.com for recipes and retail locations near you and put some Hatfield pork on your fork.
Uh-oh, somebody in trouble.
That's right. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Yeah, we had to play that music because you're right. Someone, Hugh, is in some trouble. So I thought a lot of Phillies yesterday had a good first day. You know, Alec Bohm. And most of the relief pitchers, Zach Wheeler, Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, all leading to a victory. But Hugh, there was one member of the bullpen yesterday that I don't even know if an investigation is needed. I just think this one might be closed and shut, this case. Hugh, this, you may call this an overreaction, and okay. I don't care, okay?
Okay.
I'm out on Jordan Romano. I'm out.
What'd he do to you?
He stunk yesterday. His stuff looked so flat in that inning. His fastball was, 95. I mean, I'm seeing relievers left and right yesterday come out of the bullpen just throwing 98, 99, 100 like it's nothing. He's at 95. That's not special anymore. And that slider, that looked like a frisbee thrown up there at the plate. That was an easy hit for Garcia. Hitting a batter, walking a batter. I know John Brager said maybe it was first opening day jitters. You were giving him the excuse of the cold.
I just said it was kind of chilly.
It wasn't chilly for Jose Alvarado. No. Was it chilly for Zach Wheeler? Was it chilly for Mackenzie Gore?
You have got to stop.
It was chilly for Jordan Romano.
I'm just saying, man. Some people ain't built for the cold like that, man.
Okay, but hold on. We have to be. Like, we are going to play games deep into October.
No, I mean, yeah. I'm just saying it was probably a little, you know, with the quick start and everything. It just didn't happen. Everybody ain't up to the occasion.
You know, I was going to put Jordan Romano in Philly's jail. I might put you in Philly's jail.
Kyle is thoroughly irritated.
I need Romano in Philly's jail until he pitches well.
So I'm with you. I'm out on Jordan Romano. Yeah. I do want to point out, because I find this funny, I'm the one that overreacted to something that the Phillies have done for 2 years yesterday. Mm-hmm. We see a reliever pitch one game. Jail.
I mean, the guy's guilty.
But I'm the one that overreacted.
I keep telling y'all, this is the Sixers' fault, man.
What?
It goes back to the Sixers for me.
Why? Because what does that do with Jordan Romano?
Well, because we are overreacting to everything.
Oh, are we out of practice reacting to games?
Yes.
It's been 2 months?
Yes. Because the last game we had a chance to react to, I mean, think about it.
It was the Super Bowl.
Well,
in essence, we have
checked out on our bridge.
You know what I just realized? If we eliminate the Flyers and Sixers because their seasons have been over forever, right? You know the last time the three of us reacted to a loss? It was the Commanders game where we yelled about if they would have won if Jalen didn't get hurt. Mm-hmm. That was in December. It was before Christmas.
We pulled a torch today. We checked out.
That all being said, I'm out of Romano.
You know what? So he's in jail officially?
He's in Philly's jail.
Guilty!
Yeah.
We pulled a torch. We said, you know what? We're not built for this.
You know what I'm noticing about Hugh?
What?
He will use any excuse. He'll blame anybody but the player for their own failure.
That's not what I'm doing.
You blame the cold weather and the Sixers for Jordan Romano's stinking.
I have perspective and vision, and I just see things differently.
Perspective and vision.
I'm just saying, I see it differently.
This guy's throwing junk up there.
I'm not going to lie.
How about yesterday, for once we say Jordan Romano stunk instead of, it's the Sixers' fault.
It's the weather's fault.
What are you talking about?
He did stink yesterday. I'm talking about the fact that we're overreacting.
Mm-hmm. Is it an overreaction to put him in Philly's jail after
he's
one game?
Jail.
Yes,
maybe
it is.
That's
a real reaction, though.
Okay. And he can get out on with good behavior.
Guilty. So,
two good outings, he's out
Guilty.
Of Philly's jail.
And then he put the lock and chain behind it.
Now, was this actually reverse engineered? Did we look for a reason to use that audio?
Yes.
Absolutely,
yes.
We did.
Okay, that's,
yes.
Maybe we did. But Romano stunk either way.
So My question is off of this Phillies jail thing that we're doing. Does Tymon Walker begin the season in jail?
Or is let Joe tell it, yes.
Or is he on probation?
He's on probation.
I feel like he's got to be in jail. I mean, he's like a 50 ERA last year.
Or could we put him on house arrest? Like if he even steps outside, and he
got
back
mad,
to jail.
And he got mad when...
I think he's on parole.
He was in jail.
Y'all take it too far.
Well, I mean, the guy has stolen millions of dollars from an organization.
Yeah, if anything, he's been locked up. And he's on parole.
Yeah, one more bad outing.
We're monitoring the situation.
We're throwing that key away.
All right. Romano's in jail.
Yeah, Romano's in Phillies jail.
Guilty!
Let's be real.
That guilty is priceless, though.
When you watched Romano pitch yesterday, did you feel like, you know what, this was a good $8 million spent by the Phillies?
That wasn't the first thought.
I was like,
ooh, baby. If this thing goes south, I was like, boy. It's going to be a tough Friday.
So I think with him, obviously we're having fun with the jail thing. I think if he was coming off a good year,
it'd be something different.
I could say, all right, just you know, first outing, whatever. It's March. He was hurt last year and didn't pitch well. So you know, with relief pitchers, they're good and then they lose it. They're almost like kickers in a way. Like they'll be good and then they could lose it all of a sudden. I don't know if Romano has lost it. I just know he didn't look very good yesterday, and they need him because. It's pretty thin, the right-handed relievers beyond him. It's Kirkering. I mean, I don't know who else they trust out there. Maybe Jose Ruiz, but he was more of like a sixth inning guy last year.
Yeah,
they need him.
And Romano can get out of jail. He just needs to do his time.
Yes.
We need to see improvement.
We rehabilitate
and
him.
We will open up those gates.
That's right. But right now, he's in there.
He's in jail, man.
Guilty!
Officially guilty.
The lock and key thing.
It's a new toy, man.
Yeah, that's wild. We need to figure out a way to use that more, though.
The guilty?
With the guilty.
I think we found it. We're putting people in Philly's jail this year.
Yeah, that, but just the guilty is just...
You want the plain guilty?
Guilty!
I don't know what possessed him to say it like that.
Was that when Fran wore a Diamondbacks jersey before the
NLCS? No, that was actually about Elliot, I believe. I think he does a thing where he litigates whether or not a host or somebody at WIP is culpable of... Yeah, of something more on
the other weird noise was when Fran wore the jersey. That one gets me every time. All right, 215-592-9494. Your reaction to all this, you like what you saw from the Phillies yesterday. You could chime in if you thought the verdict on Romano was fair or not. I think it was a very fair trial on Jordan Romano.
Yeah.
And he is
open a junk case.
You said that was straight face. No, it was a very
the evidence is overwhelming. Okay, did you see him yesterday?
I'm not gonna argue with you, Joe.
And then what's going on with his eyes? Like he's like I don't know if he was shocked.
He actually looks like he might belong
near
in jail.
The headlights
or some sort of facility.
I don't know what was going on. You all right over there?
Good.
Okay.
Is that the Sixers' fault too?
No. Sometimes you just when you have a thought, you probably need to keep it to yourself.
Instead of trying to walk it back, don't say it. Jump out ahead of that. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Richard in North Philly's up. Hey, Richard.
Yes, Hugh, what you was talking about a couple hours ago with people being mad and it's called displacement. I had a lot of psychology courses. That's the term you was
displaced
thinking about.
Displaced anger. Yeah, displaced anger. Yeah. That's what Kyle got, man.
I did a lot of those psych classes in college. Going back to Joe, Trey Turner stinks.
Oh.
He's awful.
Guilty.
You know, Richard, I don't disagree. Just I'm not that mad at him for yesterday. I thought his at-bats were better yesterday than the last couple years.
Okay, Joe, did you see that bat in the 10th inning with a guy on third base and one out, and he popped up to the pitcher?
I did, yeah. I saw it.
That's awful. Marsh was awful, and Castellanos. It's the same lineup.
Well, they juggled it around, though. Same lineup, say they just put it in different places, like rearranging the chairs in the Titanic.
Right, and that game with Wheeler yesterday reminded me when he pitched a 1-0 game against the Mets but didn't get no run support in the Mets. That game yesterday reminded me of the same thing.
It was similar. Now you're right. Fortunately, we came back and scored at the end. In the Mets game, we didn't do that. I was at that game, Richard. Game one of the playoffs last year. That was a gut punch, especially because there were a bunch of Mets fans in my section, and they were having too good of a time, Richard. It was not fun.
Right. So Trey Turner be lucky if he hits .220, and that's because he might get a couple infield hits.
I think he'll be better if he's. Well, goodness gracious.
Displaced anger,
by the way. If he's 220, we're going to have a problem here. All right, Richard, what do you got for us? A sports venue we should check out.
Wrigley Field. A great venue.
You know what? Classic, Richard. There's nothing wrong with that one. That's a great. I've never been to Wrigley.
Ain't that far.
What's that?
Ain't that far, right?
Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, Chicago's not exactly close. What would you consider close versus far? Chicago does. Like when I think that's of Chicago, about, I don't think close.
That's about what an 8-hour, 10-hour trip.
I would think. I drove
about
to.
Wait a minute. Let me see.
I drove to Indiana once, and that took about 11 or 12. So yeah, I would think 8 to 10 for Wrigley. Is that about right? You pop it in the Google Maps.
I'm putting it in the Googly.
You planning a trip? You want to go to Wrigley?
No, I'm saying it's 11 hours.
Live show from Wrigley this summer?
Yeah, 11 hours.
Let's check out when the Phillies go out there. I'd go to Wrigley.
17, we got some tow. If we left right now, we can get there by 11 o'clock.
Why are we going now?
I'm just saying. I was just saying if that was what we wanted to do.
They're actually out there later this month. Phillies at Cubs. Friday the 25th of April. You want to go to Wrigley?
Are we just making plans? You ain't even talked to nobody. You just making plans
I'm asking you.
Fine. We can go. I've been in Chicago.
Yeah?
Deep dish pizza.
Didn't you not like Chicago when we talked about it?
I loved Chicago.
He did. I don't like Chicago, but I mean, we're going.
What's wrong with Chicago?
I'm going to get there and eat some pizza and go to the game and go back. Chicago's different.
It's not really that different. It's another big city. It's actually, if anything.
Chicago's different.
I'm sorry. It's a lot cleaner than Philly.
That doesn't surprise me.
It depends on what you got. Well, see, it's clear that the parts of Chicago that you've been in
Hold on.
So are you talking about Wrigleyville or a different spot?
A different spot.
Well, yeah, okay, because you brought this up the last time Chicago came up. If you're visiting a city, are you planning on going to the worst parts or the best parts?
Well, like, I'd go to the best part.
Well, yeah, thanks. I have family in Chicago, okay. So they were in, it's a little bit sketchy.
They were where they were.
They were.
There's sketchy parts of every city, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. I ain't trying to,
All right, maybe we got to can this. Yeah,
maybe
trip.
Don't go to the bad parts.
I would like to get some deep dish pizza, though.
Okay. I mean, we could get a Phillies Cubs playoff series this year. We could plan that out. We can go to do a show from Wrigley. I'm in. All right, let's go to Aaron, who's up from San Diego. What's up, Aaron?
Good afternoon, Philadelphia.
Aaron, what's going on?
Surprise, surprise. The Phillies are who we thought they are.
You know, they did win yesterday.
You know, if it's not for a wild pitch, the storyline is another wasted quality outing by Zach Wheeler. 19 strikeouts, 2 solo home runs, and our bullpen lost the game in late innings. What has changed?
Well, not a lot, but they won the game, Aaron. Their best pitcher pitched well, and their 2 best offensive players hit home runs. I mean, and their bullpen, other than one guy who we just put in jail, pitched pretty well.
You know, your excuses for Trey Turner, too, you sound like you're talking about Aiden Miller or Crawford, who is making their major league debut and their first outing. This guy's a $300 million man.
Aaron, this is the first time anyone has accused me of making an excuse for Trey Turner. So this is a new one. But I just thought yesterday, like, it's one game. If that ball he hit to center field drops,
it's a different story.
Right. Is it particularly different the way he approaches his plate appearances? It's the same thing. He just didn't get a hit yesterday.
Hey, Hugh, you know what they say about excuses, right?
Yeah.
They're like a certain part of the human anatomy. Everybody's got one, and they all stink.
Oh, you know that one.
Excuse me.
Oh, no, I thought it was something else.
By the way, you know what's
excuses.
Out there in the hallway? There's like a little nook over there where they drop off, food and stuff and boxes. Aaron, I'm sorry I'm bringing this up, but you brought me here. There's a bidet out there, everybody. Someone dropped a bidet off at the studio. I don't know why. I don't know who it's addressed to, but it's out there. Like, it's as if someone sent sweatshirts here like they did last week. Today we have a bidet. So just want to make sure everyone knows.
Maybe
that.
They listened to Carmen's phone call about Hugh's stinky ass.
I didn't fart. And when
Aaron said excuses, why are you lying to
people? I didn't fart. I know what it sounded like, but I ain't fart.
Joe, with those excuses you're making today, you need to go wash your mouth out in that bidet.
Listen, there's no excuses. I thought Trey Turner had better at-bats. I mean, I'll crush the guy when I think he stinks. I thought he had better bats. Yeah, Aaron, you want me to be fair about Trey Turner yesterday? His defense stunk again yesterday. He didn't catch the ball when JT threw it to second base on the steal attempt. And that pop-up that fell in left field, if he looks up, the guy on third base is not moving. He could have thrown to second base and got an out. So he's still a butcher in the field. You bet? You happier now?
You know what? To be honest, let's give Trey Turner a break. Yesterday was baseball card picture day.
Oh.
And he looked like he was swinging and posing for those pictures.
Well, he also had the bat fly out of his hand at one point. Aaron, what should we go to? What's our venue we should go to?
You know, I'll tell you, I went to that Eagles-Rams game at SoFi Stadium this year, and that was one heck of an experience. Looked like walking into a spaceship.
Yeah, it's always interesting when I see it from the outside, because isn't a part of it built underneath the ground?
Yeah, it's built in the ground, but it's not like you would think it's an indoor stadium, but it's not. It's actually built where the air flows through it, and it doesn't have walls. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think another Super Bowl is going to be there in a couple years, so maybe that's the next time the Eagles will be there. Aaron, we appreciate the phone call. SoFi Stadium.
SoFi. I heard it's pretty nice.
I mean, it is interesting.
Because Mike Quick was talking about it. He was talking about the when we had a chance to talk to him.
It's built in the ground, so like the bottom level, you're actually underneath the regular surface.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it might be a cool venue, but I don't know about how good of like an atmosphere it is.
Well, also compared to some of these like all-time places, this is just a newer stadium. Like, Inglewood, California, yeah.
I mean, like inside, like they get taken over by every visiting fan base.
They do. Well,
which might be, I guess, a cool experience if, you know, traveling Eagles fans, but like...
We saw that this year with the Saquon 255 game.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, compared to some of the other ones, I agree.
Make sure you wear the right colors when you go to SoFi.
To Inglewood? You don't want to get yourself in trouble?
I'm just saying.
Is Eagles green okay?
You can wear green.
Okay.
I think, but there's a thing in California, there's certain hats you can't wear. Like, if you wear your hat.
Oh, you don't want to be mistaken for something when you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a problem.
Like, you really don't want to be mistaken.
Seems like a problem. David in the Northeast. What's up, David?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe. David. What's up?
19 strikeouts.
Yeah.
It could have been 14-2.
14. Yeah, 14 would be better than 19.
Get that math.
Whatever. They won the game. I agree with you with that. Oh, hey, Lou, how you doing, you?
Hey, I'm good. How you doing, Jay?
Just wanted to give you props, you know.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Okay?
Appreciate you.
So, David, what do you think? Are you happy with the way they played or not happy?
No.
Because of the strikeouts. Yeah, but they won.
Who's teaching them how to hit short ball?
Who's teaching them
small
that, Joe?
Ball.
Who's teaching them how to play
short ball?
Come on now.
Topper. Or Kevin Long. Yeah, Kevin Long.
You know what you're talking about. Don't act like you don't know what you're talking about.
Small ball.
You want more bunting.
Short ball, small ball.
Same thing.
You know what? I like short ball better. Let's do short ball. Let's play short ball.
It's the opposite of the long ball.
They're hitting the ball. Okay? They're hitting their home runs. Okay. What in between?
Strikeouts.
No. Mm-hmm. Between home runs, nothing's happening.
Right, because they're striking out.
Turner's dropping balls. Terminology, Swiss cheese.
Well, Turner's a butcher in the field. We know that.
Hugh, thoughts?
Okay.
No.
Afraid to hit left-handed pitchers?
Yes, Joe.
Can they put him up against left-handers?
Who, Turner?
To practice hitting?
Or Marsh?
But Turner.
Turner. Well, he's supposed to hit lefties. That's why he's the leadoff hitter against lefties. He's supposed to be good at that.
Okay, well, I've already wasn't. Right or
got
left.
You.
Yeah.
In your face.
No.
In your face.
Right or left.
Not the moron.
He's got to be better either way. I mean, David, I agree with that. I mean, I agree.
You know, I think what he ought to do is maybe kind of see some tapes about how Larry Boa done it.
Oh, watch the old Larry Boa. Larry didn't hit much.
Give me my time. Larry Boa was first hitter.
Stop cutting him off, man.
Back in the day. Mm-hmm. Either he walked or he hit or he laid down a nice suicide bunt.
So you want Trey to be more like Larry Boa?
Yeah. Maybe.
Good talk.
How about practicing more hitting instead of looking at balls whiz by him?
You can't let the balls. Can't let them balls whiz by you.
No,
Joe.
That's a mistake. Mm-hmm. You can't do that.
We're dropping.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, Larry Boa didn't hit that much. He was more of a glove first kind of player.
Well, you know, he's got to try to hit me. I don't know what else to say. Now, okay, Joe, here's another thing. Mm-hmm. You talk about the reliever.
Yeah, Romano, I put him in jail. I put him in Philly jail.
Yeah, he in jail.
Guilty!
Guilty.
Yeah, you got a kick out of that one, too.
All right.
All right, David.
Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question.
I'm ready.
Can you hit his 95 mile an hour pitch?
Can I hit Romano? No. I can't hit Romano, no.
I think I got a shot.
But they didn't pay him $8 million to get me out. They paid him $8 million to get Major League out.
Kind of judge what you say about him. He stinks this, he stinks
so
that.
So you think I was too hard on Romano?
Maybe.
Okay.
That's not a definite.
Did you like what you saw yesterday?
That's not a definite.
Did you think he pitched well, David? David, come on. You know ball. Did you think he pitched well yesterday?
He's got feelings, Joe.
I'm not sure he does.
David, they don't care nothing about feelings. They hurt my feelings every day.
I've got feelings.
You got feelings.
I'm not ripping you, David. I like you. You're a good caller.
Clanging the can on the chin. Yeah, I got feelings.
It is called him with that. So.
Yeah. All right, David, we'll talk again soon. I like David. There's potential there for David.
To do what?
As a great WIP caller.
He kind of dominated you.
Yeah. I don't know about the Romano thing. He has feelings.
He is in jail, so.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do about that right now.
Nothing more than feelings.
Let's go to Richie in Philly. What's up, Richie?
Hey, how you doing, Joe? I'm a former teacher. I'm a retired history English teacher. And I think Kyle used the wrong word accidentally. Kyle, you there?
He's here.
What's up?
Talking about the shadows, and you said, allow me to pontificate.
Uh-oh. Pontificate, sir?
No, hold on. That's not what I said. I said I was pontificating.
You know what pontificate means? to give an opinion in a pompous or irritating manner. I don't think you meant that.
That can apply too.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, Richie's kind of cooking you. I'm lying.
Yeah, I am. Well, I can't help but being retired. I want to say a couple of positive things, Joe. I've been to a few ballparks, and I was telling Kyle, you know, you can't say, well, if we play an afternoon game in L.A., every park is different. I lived in L.A. for a while, and I went to Chicago with Wrigley Field. I went to Boston. Every park is different for you can't replicate, you know, the sun angle and things like that. So I think it was, you know, it played a part. That's what I'm saying. You know, it played a part.
I agree. And I could tell by both how quickly both starting pitchers, Richie, were trying to get the ball back and throw it again. They wanted to get through as many of those innings as they could within an hour
and a half.
Yep.
Not two things, and I'll let you go. And then one of your callers, Kenny, says, well, the catchers weren't having a problem. Well, I guarantee I could probably, at my age, I'm in my 70s, I could probably catch Josh Hader. But I couldn't hit him in a million years.
Yeah, well, that one seems way harder than the other, for sure.
No, exactly. No, because I didn't see catchers dropping the ball. Of course not. You know, that being said, I want to say I really was happy with the game. I really like a lot. I like Kepler. And I'll tell you why. The fans are going to be very happy with him. I followed baseball for years very closely when he played for Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
He has power. He's very good plate discipline. He walks a lot. I think a few years back in 2019, he hit 36 home runs. The weird thing was he struck out less than 100 times. It was in the 90s, but you'd be hard-pressed to find a hitter with over 30 home runs that struck out less than 100 times.
You'd be hard-pressed to find almost any hitter, Richie, now that strikes out less than, like a regular player that strikes out less than 100. It's pretty rare now.
But to hit 36 homers with it is what I'm saying.
Yep.
You know, so I was happy with it. And just cool, you know, chill out, guys. It's a long season. We won the game and things like that. And, you know, I felt a little bit strange with Romano, too. He looked like he was kind of, to me, he looked like he was kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? Maybe to Hugh's point, he was cold. Maybe, I hope he's healthy. I mean, Richie, he did have an injury last year. But you're right. That's a good word. He looked uncomfortable yesterday.
Yeah,
he didn't look like he was feeling, you know, in a groove there. Richie, give us a place we should go. Yes.
Yeah, my senior year at St. Joe's, I was in Germany, in Munich. I don't know. Did you ever go to a World Cup final? My God.
No, but that's
seen that on television. Those people.
They're nuts. It's totally. It's another thing altogether.
I like that.
Munich. Yeah, it's great. It's just awesome. And the noise all game long. It was Germany against I forget who they're playing, the Netherlands in 1974. You know, my senior year in college.
It's a good one, Richie. There's something about those big soccer events, whether it be the Olympics, the World Cup, obviously the biggest
people
one.
Are banana. Yeah, that's bananas.
Or even like some of the Premier League rivalries they have. Bananas is a good word. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your phone calls. And the Phillies, the win on opening day. Did you like what you saw? And as we do every day at 1 o'clock, it's the Daily Mock. Who are the Eagles taking in the latest NFL mock draft? 215-592-9494 for a midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving all customers a chance to take a swing at $500,000 in bonus bets every day from March 27th through the 30th, this Thursday through Sunday. It's all part of the $500,000 daily home run jackpot. All you have to do is use your jackpot profit boost on a player to homer. And if they go yard, not only will you get bigger winnings on your home run bet, but you also get a share of that day's $500,000 jackpot. This season on FanDuel, big wins are on deck. Head to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Look for the daily home run jackpot. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Your home for betting home runs. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.